a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll call the House Local Government Committee to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here today and welcome to those that are listening over the internet. For those of you who are listening over the internet, I'd like to apologize for the late start. The committee before us went a little extra long today. They had an important bill that they were discussing, so we are about 15 minutes late this morning. Friendly reminder, if you're going to testify today, please sign in. If you are carrying a cell phone or any type of electronic device that makes noises, make sure the sound is off so you don't disrupt those testifying or the discussion in the room. At this time, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Hayek.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Heinert.
Here.
Latterell.
Here.
Nelson.
Here.
Olson. Otten.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Tolson.
I am here.
Tyler.
I'm here too.
Rosam.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Quorum.
We do have a quorum. I know everybody spent a lot of time reading the minutes from our last meeting. Any discussion on those minutes?
I'd love to approve them.
We have a motion by Representative Hayek to approve the minutes. That is seconded by Representative Craig. Discussion on the minutes. Hearing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. As we only have one bill today, but just a reminder, if you have any information to pass out to the committee, please use the pages to do so. And since I did bring up the pages, I would ask that if the pages could step up, please identify yourself. Well, they're busy. Please step up to the microphone, identify yourself, tell us where you're from.
Hi, my name is Mary Martin. I'm from Over South Dakota. I'm planning to go to NSU to become an elementary education teacher.
Good for you. Good to have you here. And we got one more that is delivering some coffee, so we'll give her a chance to come up and identify. Good for you. Good to have you folks here. The pages are a big help to our committee process, so thank you. At this time, we do have one bill, as I said. Before we get started, I am going to have a very short meeting on Thursday. We will not be in this room. There was a request to use this room by a Senate committee that felt that they would overflow their committee room with the bill they're hearing. It must be one of mine. I can't imagine. So I will try and find a location for a very short meeting Thursday. It'll probably be at 11 o'clock. We're going to discuss, everybody received in front of them, an interim study request form. I've spent some time between now and then thinking, and I'm not just issues that came before us in our committee, although that's where I'd like to focus, but if there are issues that need to be discussed that you've seen on the floor and other committees, we'll discuss them at that time and maybe put a couple of these into the executive board for a request. So with that, we will move on with our agenda today. First bill and only bill is Senate Bill 21. This is to revise certain provisions regarding the collection and setting of 24/7 sobriety program fees and regarding the monitoring of ignition interlock testing. This time the chair will ask for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 21. Good morning, Mr. Attorney General.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Marty Jackley, South Dakota Attorney General. I rise in support of Senate Bill 21 in relation to the 24/7 alcohol sobriety program. And if I could just have the chair's indulgence to take a moment to talk a little bit about the 24/7 program and then the three things that this bill seeks to change.
We'll grant you the latitude to get into the 24/7 program and history.
As many of you may know, Attorney General Larry Long, when he first became Attorney General, really became the pioneer of the 24/7 program and the concept to deal with an underlying addiction rather than the constant cycle to continue having people drink and get into trouble and be arrested and being prosecuted. With the support of the South Dakota legislature after a pilot program, this became a statewide program. When I became Attorney General, really the only major changes that have happened to the program, we've tried to expand it further statewide. We made it an offender pay program. When it was initiated, the legislature, through the appropriation process, assisted and spent monies primarily for the scram bracelets that I'll show you in a moment. But we made it completely an offender pay program, and so there are no tax dollars. Let me make that clear. No tax dollars whatsoever spent on the 24/7 program, and there's a separate 24/7 fund. We have a sheriff's advisory committee, even though the attorney general supervises the overall 24/7 program. The sheriffs give me advice on where we need to spend. We actually have a grant program whereby, for instance, in a smaller county that maybe needs a little bit of an assistance with a building or whatnot, the sheriffs can give a recommendation. We help that county out. There are really three tools that we use in the 24/7 program. The one tool that I think most of you are familiar with and the primary tool is the breathalyzer, that if somebody gets themselves in trouble as part of a bond condition or as a part of a sentence is on the 24/7 program, they would go to the local 24/7 site, which in most counties is oftentimes the dispatch area, where they simply need to look a law enforcement officer in the eye and prove up twice a day, usually at 7 in the morning and 7 at night, so it doesn't interfere with job, that they haven't been drinking. And if they pass, they go on to their families, they go on to their work. We don't have to have them in jail. If they fail, then depending upon what the county is, they'll spend the night in jail or have to go in front of a judge and address why they failed. That's the primary tool. The second tool that you hear a little bit about is the scram bracelet. I call it the Lindsay Lohan bracelet. It's what Lindsay Lohan was assigned. If I may have the permission, I will.
Want to have one of the
candles?
We can't spill it. Make it green or something, you know.
That's essentially technology. That bracelet costs about $1,300. And what it does when it's placed on an individual, it, through perspiration, detects whether or not there's alcohol use. It's a computer system. It's very simple. We use that for primarily rural areas where it doesn't make sense to have somebody in a rural area drive in, causes inconveniences, or frankly, we will use it on an individual that we think is trying to beat the twice-a-day tests, and therefore we want a little closer monitoring. And so that bracelet is used. The third tool in the box, I came before the legislature a couple years ago and asked for permission to test the ignition interlock. That's the device that's placed in the car. I'll pass one of those around. Essentially, the ignition interlock device is a device that's not owned by the state. That's a lease agreement between the defendant or the individual that's on the 24/7 program and the company. We felt that would be the more fiscally responsible way to go, so we didn't have to buy a bunch of ignition interlocks. The ignition interlock is a device that's placed on the car. The car can't stop until the individual essentially looks in the camera to prove up it's them. And blows in it, and then if they blow in it and they don't have any alcohol in their breath, the vehicle starts. So those are the main tools. What Senate Bill of the 24/7 program, what Senate Bill 21 attempts to do are three things. Number one, it deals with a collection of fees for scram, and I want to make that clear, only for scram. Then it deals with the overall fees. Right now, there's a cap and a minimum. It seeks to remove the minimum, and I'll get more into that. And then the third item is it deals with the ignition interlock reporting requirements. And so if you look at the fee part, right now the breathalyzer tool and the ignition interlock tool are collected by the sheriffs. Remember, that's an offender pay program, and the sheriffs then address the related costs associated with that. The one exception to that is the scram bracelet. For whatever reason, right now the fees associated with the scram bracelet go to the clerk of courts and then to the sheriff. In other words, there's an unnecessary middleman in that process. So the sheriff's recommended that we look at removing the middle person. We worked with the court system and the clerks, and they agree, and I believe they're here to tell you that today. And so we are just simply, the money doesn't go to any different place. We are just taking out the middle person in regard to the collection of fees and would have it be consistent with wherein the sheriff collects it for ignition interlock as well as for the PBT tests. The second item, and I, in relation to the overall program fees, I wanted to make sure everybody in the legislature knows what the overall statewide fee structure is. And so you've been provided a document that talks about the program fees for the PBT, the SCRAM bracelet, and the ignition interlock. The way the fee structure works in South Dakota is you, the legislature, have put in a statutory framework where it says, okay, Attorney General, you can charge between X and Y amount. It has to be within this range. And when you're going to change within that range, you have to go to the rules process in order to make that change. What we're asking in Senate Bill 21 is to leave the cap in place. In other words, if the cap is $10, we're not asking you to adjust that up so that it costs more money. We're just simply saying we don't really need that minimum. There may be an instance when we can actually go below the minimum. I'm not saying we're going to do that today, but at least it would allow the possibility that if we can continue to have this program run efficiently and effectively, maybe we can lower the fee a little bit. The third item that we really seek to accomplish is ignition interlock reporting. As I indicated before, in 2012, this program went statewide. It's not huge. Right now, there have been about 213 participants on it. We've had a very good success rate, 99.44%. What we are asking is the sheriffs have come to us and said it would work better on this program if rather than having inspections every 60 days, we would like to have them every 30 days. It's just simply a function of the sheriff's thinking that that would better enable them to ensure that the devices are working right, they're not being tampered with, et cetera. So those are the three changes that we are asking to be incorporated in Senate Bill 21, and I certainly would make myself available, Mr. Chairman, for any questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. Further proponents on Senate Bill 21?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Thiessen. I'm an attorney here in Pierre and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Sheriff's Association. I think the Attorney General has done a very good job of describing what the bill seeks to do. As he indicated, this program was pioneered by Attorney General Long. Frankly, this is something for South Dakota to be very proud of. This program has traveled across the country and been adopted by many others, and in fact is being looked at, I think, and maybe even adopted overseas. This has been a truly effective tool for us. It provides what are immediate results, and I think that's part of the reason why it's been so effective. Like any program, though, it needs to be tweaked from time to time when we see that something's not working quite right. We've appreciate the help of the Attorney General. As he explained to you, the sheriffs do kind of an advisory role with the Attorney General who administers the program. So the changes are really what I would describe as modifications to really conform in statute what happens today. And in terms of the clerk collecting something versus the sheriff, it's the sheriff that's dealing with these folks on a daily basis every day, and it only makes sense that we take the middleman out of that picture. Otherwise, we're not doing anything but wasting time going from her and back, the clerk. And so we're really just trying to conform what we're doing to conform the statute to what we're really doing. We think that what's being proposed here is a good idea. The way the Attorney General has prepared it, I think, maybe will allow us not to have come back every year to tweak it. I think that from time to time we'll always be looking at how these things conform with what's actually occurring out there, because our successes are going to change with time. So it's a very good bill. We support it. We appreciate the opportunity to testify in favor of the bill, and we hope that you'll support it to the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 21?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Greg Satizon. I'm the State Court Administrator for the Unified Judicial System, and we're also in support of the bill. As the Attorney General and Mr. Thiessen explained, this really does clarify and streamline the procedure in the Clerk of Court's office, and the Attorney General shared this in advance, and we had an opportunity to comment on it, and our clerks are very supportive of the idea, and we think it's a step in efficiency in the process. So, thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents on Senate Bill 21? Any other proponents? Seeing none. Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 21? Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Are there questions of the committee? Representative Hayek.
Thank you. Mr. Attorney General, and this is a peripheral question. If I'm looking at this 111.18, where you have the 24/7 sobriety fund, and which is part of your budget, is it looking good? I mean, as we use this, I would hope that that fund would grow. And just so you know what, how to answer, I mean, that I'm not going to take it away from you, but I'm thinking, is there, you know, are there maybe some areas of, you know, education that could be used with this fund? I mean, is it growing fairly well?
Mr. Chairman, the answer is it's not growing fairly well, but it's not intended to. And the reason I answer it that way is, first of all, that is a fund. It's a GOAC numbered fund, which means that it's under subject to BFM number and GOAC review. It's designed so it's an offender pay program, and we want to push that money out to programs authorized by the legislature rather than sitting in a fund not helping people. And so part of the process of the sheriff's advisory board, and I can't emphasize enough, I mean, the sheriffs really run this program for the attorney general. I mean, and they deserve that credit. But they have that committee that will then give recommendations to give out grants, and that we, within the confines of what the legislature has said we can spend that money on. And that poses challenges. And I know, Representative, you're from Minnehaha County, and the sheriff has worked. I just was off the phone with the sheriff about how we can tie 24/7 into the HOPE program. And so we want to make sure we stay within the bounds of what the legislature says we can, but yet push those monies out. And when I say push those monies out, I use an example. I had authorized a couple of grants to go to a couple of smaller counties that were having trouble having the personnel available to do the PBT test. And so that the sheriffs felt we ought to help provide a employee to man part of that line that was getting very long in a particular county. It was a college town. And so there was added challenges, and so that's what those monies go to. They are not able to go directly to alcohol education by statute. They've got to be for purposes of the costs of maintaining and running the 24/7 program. So I hope that I've answered that question.
Representative Hayek, you have a follow-up?
I do, and you kind of generated it because, you know, it refers you to like 111.25 in terms of dispensing, but as Sheriff Milstead, as you've said, Minnehaha County and many of the counties, really over 60% of the budget now goes to law enforcement, and always looking at creative ways to find funding. Always looking, you know, can we use highway funds for, you know, vehicles and the sheriff? So any avenue you mentioned this, did you say the HOPE program?
Yes.
Is that, are we able to do some things with these funds that will allow innovative uses that are connected?
Mr. Chairman, I think the answer is yes. What I'm always very careful on is, and this was part of my package to appropriators back when I first became Attorney General, is that if we were making this an offender pay program, that money needs to go back to these offenders. In other words, it would not be fair to the offender that's paying a dollar in the morning and a dollar at night to be funding other law enforcement-related programs. That those monies need to go directly to that 24/7 program. But within those parameters, and that's what the legislature has put in statute, I believe, for instance, on the HOPE program, which is kind of a very probationary-intensive drug court such situation. They do more than just drugs. They do alcohol, et cetera. But that it would include alcohol and drugs, and that a component of that supervision could be the 24/7 program, so that we are still using 24/7. It's within the limits of what the legislature has said, and it's helping those individuals that are paying in the money. I always want to make sure it's the individual, that the offender that's paying in the dollar gets the benefit of the dollar. So if they're in that HOPE court situation, then they're the ones that are going to benefit from that fee that they're paying. And so I just want to be clear that I think you can do that innovative process. I think the sheriff and Judge Long are being very creative within the bounds of the law, And in that regard, as Attorney General, I support that, and I think the Sheriff's Advisory Committee supports that.
Representative Hayek, follow-up? Okay. Representative Rosen, you have a question.
Thank you, and this would be for the Attorney General. Are there situations where someone might report at 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and have the interlock system on their car, or would it be just one of the types of treatment?
Mr. Chairman, typically would be just one of the types of treatment. For instance, the ignition interlock has the capabilities for random testing. In other words, it would be a situation where they receive a call and they have 20 minutes, even though they're not going to drive, they have to go into their vehicle and look into the camera because, again, it goes into and then blow into the tube because this is an addiction-saving deal. I mean, it doesn't just address the situation when you're driving. When you're on the 24/7 program, it's alcohol sobriety. And so the other situations, whether it's domestic violence, they're all covered by trying to address the underlying addiction. And so you wouldn't be, though, incurring typically fees on more than one of the programs. The overall, I'd say well over 90% of the folks on 24/7 do the PBT. And then there's those other instances when we need that technology of ignition interlock or SCRAM to address it.
Questions of the committee? Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I have is who decides which apparatus to use, the bracelet or the ignition interlock? And I think you said the cost of, was the bracelet $1,300 or was it the interlock? If you could know that, that would, or give us that answer. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the cost of our purchasing the SCRAM bracelet is about $1,300 a unit, and so we lease that out at, you'll see on the program fees, that there's a $40 activation fee, and then there's a deactivation fee, and the cost is typically $6 a day beyond that fee. And so the individual doesn't have to pay the $1,300. We own it, and they are leasing it from us. That's part of the program fee situation. The ignition interlock, those things were pretty expensive. I don't recall the exact amount, but spendy enough that I didn't feel we could purchase those as a state. I would have had to go to the appropriators, and I didn't want to do that after just telling them I was making it an offender pay program. So this worked out where they just have that lease agreement directly with the company. And so we're not involved in that. You asked who decides which apparatus, and I think that the proper answer is, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the judge, but it really, the process depends upon the county and which judge you're in front of. The big picture is this. 24/7 is a voluntary program. In other words, nobody's ever forced to be on it. People can argue, well, but in order to get your driving permit to drive to work, you got to be on 24/7. But that's how it works. In other words, if you are on your second offense, or if you have been a second offense DUI, or if you have above a .017 BAC in your first offense DUI, in order for you to get a driving permit, you have to be on the 24/7 program. So it is a voluntary program. And then when you're placed on it, typically in the judge's order, it addresses the apparatus issue, and it gives in most counties, it gives quite a bit of discretion to the sheriff. So there's judicial oversight with ultimately the sheriff, because the sheriff knows may only have 5 SCRAM bracelets in his or her inventory. And if they're out, then they simply can't use a SCRAM bracelet. They're going to have to rely upon the PBT or going the ignition interlock route. And the sheriff's really in the best position. Or in minor instances, the sheriff may contract out to the chief of police, and that has happened in some areas, whereby then that, because they're the most familiar with the inventory. But at the end of the day, I think the proper answer is the judge has the oversight, but normally it will be left up to the sheriff because he or she knows their inventory.
Follow-up,
Representative Tolson.
And we might not know this because we're leasing him. How many bracelets are there in or interlock devices in our state? And I don't expect you to know that answer, but if you do have it, that'd be good.
Mr. Chairman, it's approximately 800. In a way, I say approximately. I just recently signed off on the purchase of additional ones out of the 24/7 fund because we had a shortage of them, and I don't know whether that's included in the 800 number. So I would say somewhere between 800 and 1,000 units.
Additional questions? Representative Betty Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is for the Attorney General. Could you explain the HOPE program to us? I have no idea what that is.
Mr. Chairman? Judge Ulm is a judge out of Hawaii. I had an opportunity to present with him at an event where it was interesting that 24/7 was really competing with HOPE program for federal dollars and, you know, MAD and other groups that were trying to pick between programs. And the HOPE program was part of Senate Bill 70, whereby the state is going to have two pilot programs. One is, I got to be careful because I don't want to steal the chief's thunder. I know that he's figured out which two counties they're in, but I'll tell you that one is a large county and one is a small county. I think he figured out, if I was talking to Sheriff Milstead, where one of them may be at, but and Judge Long. So there have been two counties selected under Senate Bill 70. And essentially what that is there will be intensive probation and monitoring of individuals that have gotten into trouble on either drugs or alcohol. And it's much like the drug court concept, but it's an intensive probation concept of whereby essentially if you get into trouble, you're placed on that, you will have to, and I think the way they'll set up is there'll be a color code. And if you're on it and blue is your code and you get contacted by your court service officer and blue is the day, you need to come in and you'll need to do a drug test to ensure that you are not engaging in drug activity. So it's intensive probation. And as you go through that process, you still will have a conviction on your record. That's a misnomer. Some people think that, well, you go through either a drug court or HOPE program that you don't have a conviction. You do. Oftentimes, the judge will wipe it clean on suspended imposition of sentence, but that's up to the judge. And so you go through that process. What we're hoping and we're looking at on one of those pilot programs is, as part of that intensive monitoring, can we have 24/7 assist in that monitoring? I'm supportive of that as long as it's offender pay. I don't want a situation where fees are being waived and offender and taxpayers are having to pay for that. And so I've made it very clear in the appropriation process to sheriffs, to county commissions, that I'll allow 24/7 to be a part of the pilot so long as the offender has to pay at least that sliver of 24/7. Okay.
Further questions? Follow-up? Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Attorney General. Very enlightening. You don't get to come in front of this committee too often, and we appreciate the time you're spending here.
I appreciate it. You're a little easier than judiciary has been on me, so I might come back if I can.
You'll have to wait and see how the vote goes, because we've got a pretty tough committee here.
Well, I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and committee members.
At this time, I'm going to close public testimony, open it up to committee action or discussion on Senate Bill 21. Representative Rosen.
Move to pass.
We have a motion by Representative Representative Rosen to pass Senate Bill 21, seconded by Representative Craig. Discussions on that motion, Representative Rosen.
Well, I do appreciate that you came and explained all of this, because I've been asking a million questions, and so this really pulled it all together. But this is great. It's common sense, and thank you for sharing.
Further comments on the do pass motion? Representative Betty Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say that we had a neighbor kid that wound up with the thing on his vehicle, and it did him a world of good. He's now grown up, married, and dry.
Thank you, Representative. Further comments on the do pass motion? Representative Hayek.
Well, I want to thank you, because this has really been a boon, and I know from being a county commissioner how much it saved the county, and people don't realize, but saved it in so many different ways. Not only the jail time, but then we have individuals who are able to be out making a living. They're not getting the unemployment. They're not needing to have payments and assistance. They are able to maintain a lifestyle, and when we start realizing how important that is, so these programs have been just a wonderful, besides the cost savings, what a wonderful boost it is to the individual to know that I can make a mistake, but I can still keep going. So thank you, and I just really appreciate you doing it.
Further comments on the do pass motion? Seeing that, I'm just going to add real briefly here. This was an idea that, as you mentioned, now Judge Long, former Attorney General, had brought up from Bennett County, I believe, that he started down there. And when he came up to Pierre, he was very passionate about this. And during the Criminal Code Revision Committee back in 2004, that's when we first started really discussing about an implementation statewide. And it wasn't too long after, with the dedication that the Attorney General's office had at that time, this came into being. We had looked, and as we have with Senate Bill 70, looked at our future in South Dakota and realized that we keep throwing people into jail. We're going to need new jails in this state, a lot more room in the pen, and the counties were really picking up a lot of the expense with their local DUIs, and this was just an excellent idea to bring along. The discussions that we had over the years, keeping people out of jail, as Representative Hayak said, a lot of these people owe a debt as a result of the incident that put them into jail, or they have a family support or a job, and the intent is to take care of the addiction, I think. Instead of sending somebody to jail for 30 days, allowing them to continue to work, support their families, pay their debts, it's a great idea. And these little tweaks have to be done from time to time. Hopefully these tweaks will work, and we won't have to be back with this for some time. That, with that, the motion is do pass on Senate Bill 21. Those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Craig.
Aye.
Hayak.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Lutterell.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Tolson.
Aye.
Tyler.
Aye.
Rosam.
Aye.
Browns.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, 13 yay.
13 yay. Senate Bill 21 will move forward to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Betty Olson. Motion consent by Representative Olson, seconded by Representative Hayak. All those in favor of consent signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 21 will be placed on the consent calendar, due pass recommendation. I'm looking around here. Representative Heinert, can you make sure this is explained in your caucus? And if the proponents can, or the Attorney General, have somebody give them some speaking points and bring a copy of those to me also. As I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I do want to have a very short meeting on Thursday. I'll let you know where the location is as soon as I find a room. But I want to discuss interim studies. We'll try to make it brief. We'll start it at 11 a.m. on Thursday. Is there any other information for the good of the committee? Seeing none, Representative Hayak moves we adjourn. Seconded by Representative Rosam. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.